For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What is up, fellas? Welcome back to Converse Over Cold Brew with me, your host, Emma Abrahamson. Today we are talking with Bowerman babe Elise Cranny. She is my age and she went to college at Stanford University, and we raced each other quite a few times, so I'm very familiar with her in the running world. She recently just ran 14:48 for the 5K, which is crazy fast, and she has been very vocal recently about her journey with REDS, which is relative energy deficiency in sport, and her journey through that, which is something I can relate to, me getting my period at 22 years old. So we talk about quite a few things in this episode, and I think it's really beneficial, and I hope you guys enjoy. What's up, guys? Welcome back to the podcast. I'm here with Elise Cranny. Elise, welcome to the podcast. I'm excited to have you on. Do you want to give a little rundown of who you are and what you're about?
Yeah, thanks for having me. Let's see. I am from Boulder, Colorado. Went to Stanford University, graduated in December of 2018, and now I run professionally for the Bowerman Track Club in Portland.
Yeah, I think I've had at least half of your team on already to the podcast. You guys are just my go-to. I feel like I know all of you, so I'm like, okay, I'll just have another one on.
It's perfect. There's lots of us.
So. Yeah, so I still have quite a few more to go to after this one. But I'm excited to hear more about like your running story in general, because I've known about you since like you were in high school. But how did you get started running?
Yeah, my parents did triathlons when we were growing up, so I feel like we were kind of, my two younger sisters and I were exposed to the world of like endurance sports and triathlons pretty early. We did summer swim league since we were like, I don't know, probably like 8 years old, and then slowly started to get into running probably toward the end of middle school. Did some like hurdling and long jumping in the early middle school days, but definitely not my forte. But kind of got into distance running a little bit in eighth grade, but I would say mostly once I entered high school. The assistant cross country coach at our school, Jason Hartman, was running for Nike at the time and was doing marathons, and he just really like opened my eyes to the running world and what opportunities were there like outside of the state as well. So I'd say he's a big reason that I like, you know, started to solely focus on running.
Yeah, that's awesome. And what would you say like your primary event was to start off with? You said that you dabbled a little bit of the field events, but what was like your forte growing up?
I would say the mile probably. Yeah, the like 800 in the mile was more my focus and my fave. Yeah.
And then when did you start to get serious? Because I know a lot of like my teammates in college didn't really start getting serious until like even junior year of high school, which is a lot different than me. Like I was serious from when I was like 12. So it's always fascinating just to hear when people like started realizing maybe that they could go to college for running, or when they started like buckling down, actually not skipping runs.
Yeah, I would say mine was probably also like toward the end of sophomore year or junior year of high school. Like I said, I think I was just super like naive and didn't really know much about the sport my freshman year. Like I thought, you know, regionals and state cross country was like, that's as big as you get. And Jason was like, no, there's a whole like world out there. Like this is what exists in every state. So, I would say, yeah, I think he was really helpful in like laying good habits and like teaching me like what was important to be a good runner. But I would say I didn't like really like focus on it and kind of know the extent to like what it could be until like probably the beginning of junior year. I swam throughout high school too. So I feel like that was nice to have in the winter. I didn't really do indoor track until junior year. So that was kind of nice to have that break as well. It was like, I'm still into running, but still not like balls to the wall, like everything.
Yeah. Were you running during the winter too? Cause I played water polo in the winter. So I was in the pool as well, but I was also running cause I was like gearing up for outdoor track. We didn't have indoor track, but did you run and swim at the same time? Or was it just only swimming during the winter?
Wait, first, that's really cool that you played water polo.
Oh, I was horrible.
So I've always been so impressed. Like, how do people tread water and like throw the ball and try to score? Very impressive.
I have a horrible arm. Like, I was a good swimmer. I mean, I grew up swimming, so I was like a good swimmer. But when it came to like shooting, oh, I was so bad. Like, it was just not my forte. It was fun though.
It sounds fun. But yeah, I would say I think my freshman year I did a little bit of running, but was mostly swimming. But definitely, like, as I got older in high school, kind of kept running a good amount and training through to be ready for outdoor.
Yeah. Do you think swimming set you up for like a good cross training future? Because I know some people, like, when they get injured for the first time, they've never cross trained in their life. And they, like, I just remember watching one of my teammates, like, try to go on the elliptical for the first time, and I was like, oh no, like, it's so foreign. That's
so foreign.
Like, having that background helped you?
Yeah, so helpful. I feel like swimming is my cross training of choice. Like, I think I'm like really grateful for it now, especially in college, because I feel like I could actually get a good workout. And I feel like having just like been exposed to like, you know, the sets that you do in swimming, because it was the same thing, like, why, especially people that have never had a swimming background, like, swimming's really hard to learn.
Yeah.
I'm like, people can't really do a workout because it's like enough to just like be swimming one length at a time, and it's exhausting. So like, I'm definitely grateful to have that background and like be able to get in good workouts for cross training.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I couldn't even imagine trying to start swimming when I was older. It's just like so second nature to me that I don't even think twice about it. But I did do a good podcast with Colleen, who like learned how to swim when she was, oh, I forgot what she said, like 25 or something. So she learned when she was older, and she's like a pretty good swimmer, I would say, especially for a runner. So it's possible to learn when you're older, but it is nice to like just be able to like go do sets already and stuff. Kind of have that background, especially.
Yeah.
Especially because it's such a good cross training activity, because with like any injury, you can usually swim most of the time. So it's just nice to have. Do you ever feel like you get burnt out of it though?
Oh, totally. Totally. Yeah. I like was injured a bit in like January and February of this year, and I could really only like swim for the first little bit and couldn't do anything else. So I was just doing a ton of swimming. And for a while I was like, yeah, I don't want to get back in the pool.
Yeah, you say you're like, swimming is my cross training of choice. And it's like, I grew up swimming, but it was never really my first choice, just because I was like, I don't know if it was because I like went to school in Oregon and it was always cold, but I was like, no, please don't make me get in the pool. Like, if I could bike, I would bike, but I mean, now I do both, so it's just nice to fall back.
There's also such an association, though. I mean, I even feel like I've talked to Gwen about this. Like, I'm like, do you miss triathlon? And she was like, I don't miss, like, waking up early and getting in the pool, like, freezing cold. Like, there's something about, like, getting in the water versus sometimes it's nice just to be like, I'm going to get on the bike or let's go and not need to, like, jump in a cold pool.
Oh, my gosh. That's so funny. Like, I remember one time, it was my sophomore year of college, I had an Achilles injury and it hurt to bike. So I couldn't bike. I ellipticaled a little bit, but I had to swim that night, and I like put it off until like 7 PM. And I was like,
oh no,
I was at my apartment and I was like throwing like a tantrum. It wasn't like, it was like fake, but I was like, I don't know. I was like on the couch and I was like, I don't want to go swimming. And I was like throwing myself on the couch and I broke the couch.
Oh my gosh.
Snapped. And then my roommate Sarah Baxter, she was like, Emma, did you just break that couch? And I was like, yeah, like I broke the couch all because I didn't want to swim. So I can completely relate to the not wanting to jump in the cold water, because that's exactly how I felt at the moment. But now I don't complain anymore or throw tantrums on couches, because I'm traumatized by that moment. But I still win.
Like,
So
are you getting into the triathlon world though? You're like, you know, really swimming a lot.
I mean, yes. Sure. Now it's a little different because there's like purpose behind it. I mean, there's purpose behind swimming when you're injured too, but it's like,
it's definitely different.
It's yeah, different. It's, like, it's different. I'm like choosing to do this, you know, it's not being thrust upon me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm enjoying it though, but I did just swim in the pool for the first time in like a year and a half. And
how was it?
It was a rude awakening. I was like, oh my gosh. Cause I've been swimming in the Willamette River.
Yeah.
And I like, you can't really tell how fast you are. Like in that, even if you have like a watch, it's like hard to tell cause like currents and stuff. I'm like, oh, I'm like in decent shape. And then the pool gave me a taste of reality of what kind of shape I'm in. I'm like, oh my gosh. Like I did a 200 and I was like, and like my pace was like my, like what I would do, like distinguish as my slow pace, like per 100. I was like, oh no. And it felt hard. I was like, this is bad.
Oh, but no.
You know, little baby steps.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Enough about me. This podcast is turning into the M hour. Okay. So you decided to go to Stanford. How was your college experience? Was it a good time, bad time, great time?
It was a good time, I would say. The team was amazing. The school and the people that I met there, I would say it was like a very challenging time for me as well. And I think I have a greater appreciation for it since leaving, but definitely challenging time, but grateful for like the experiences and the lessons learned and better to look back on it now.
Yeah. That's just from people that come out of Stanford. They say the same. I mean, I talk to Steven sometimes and he says the same. How do you balance school and running? And like, cause I know personally, like traveling every weekend, like it sucks up so much time. And I couldn't imagine having like the academic pressure of Stanford on you. Like how,
Yeah, it's interesting too because Jason, again, who was my coach in high school, like when I was talking to him kind of about making a decision of where to go to school, he was like, Stanford will be a great place for you if you can figure out how to balance and basically not get too caught up in academics. And I found myself like in the middle of my time there, like, this is exactly what he was telling me not to do. This is what I'm doing. So I think it took me a really long time to find a balance. And I think it's that thing where you're like, I don't know, you're in it and you're like, this is just what I have to do. I have to keep, you know, going. And I think learning from teammates, like older teammates, especially, like even if you don't finish stuff, you just like need to close the book at some point. And especially like, I think sometimes I lost a little bit, I don't know, lost sight of like, not my goals in running, but kind of like how much, like what I was doing in academics was like taking away from that too. And I think that was something that was like hard to figure out. Like, yes, I'm still gonna like be really into school and do my best, but not at the like expense of like, you know, like getting to know the team and spending time with people and being present and like being ready for workouts and all that stuff. But I would say I don't even know if I can confidently say I actually figured out a balance even by the time I left. In some ways I was like, I kind of need to get like out of that environment, just because it is like a very, and I think everyone kind of handles it differently. For me, it was like I put a lot of like pressure on myself just like internally, and I think being in that environment, it was always going to be kind of hard for me to like fully let that go, and I got a lot better at it. But yeah, definitely something that I still maybe figured out way toward the end, like my last quarter. But
last quarter, you got to enjoy it for 10 weeks or whatever.
Yeah.
Did you have a social life?
Yeah, I mean, still a social life. There are things where, like, looking back, especially now, it's like, why was I so like stressed about that assignment or that school?
I feel like everyone thinks that way. It's like, why was I even worried about that?
It's like, why didn't I go to like, you know, Half Moon Bay more, or do more of these like things? I mean, for a while I was so embarrassed and people were like, oh, have you been here? Have you been here in the Bay Area? And I was like, no. And I was like, oh my gosh, like I'm so embarrassed. I have like done no exploring. But I think that's where, like, for me, again, the team was really helpful, like, doing, you know, kind of social activities with the team. But definitely, again, something that, looking back, I wish that I would have maybe made a little more time for.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like we can all say that. You kind of I mean, you definitely prioritize like the school and running. Like, how much more time is there really to go adventure? Yeah. Every weekend? I mean, being like a track and cross country athlete, you're literally traveling almost every weekend, I feel like.
Yeah.
There's like no free time.
Yeah. I feel like, especially with like distance running, because it's like you're in season all the time. So it's not like you even have one quarter where you're like, okay, like we're not traveling as much, so we have more time. But
yeah. What did you do over the summers? Did you like have internships, or were you in school, or did you go home?
I kind of did a mix of everything. I think two summers I went home. After my freshman year, I went home, which I think was really good. And honestly, I would like recommend to a lot of people. Like, I think I really needed that just after like so much change and stuff. And then one summer I did an internship, but back at home, which was also helpful. And then, I think before my senior year, I was on campus and did like one or two classes, which was super nice too. So kind of got it all.
That's like the typical progression. That's kind of what I did too. It's like, I went home two summers. I was only, I don't even remember. Two summers I was at home, and then like the other times I was in Eugene, like just doing stuff for work and just training. So I feel like that's a very normal progression. I liked going home though every summer. I give you like a little time away to reset after a long
a little week. Reset.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. Well, okay, kind of continue on team. You joined the Bowerman group, and I feel like the Stanford team is just, it's like the reinvented Stanford team is the Bowerman team. Because you have so many Stanford alums.
I know.
Did that like affect your decision to go there?
I think it definitely plays like a factor. It was nice seeing Vanessa and Sean, because they graduated like only one quarter before me. And like even hearing about their like experience in the first couple of months, and just like being surrounded and like learning so much from people and being challenged, I think was something that like I was really looking for. And then, just again, wanting to be a part of a group that where people have been like at the highest level, and like wanting to be surrounded by that and like pushed by those people is something that like really drew me here, I would say.
I mean, it's only been a little while, but how have you enjoyed your professional career so far?
Yeah, I have loved it. It was a little bit of a rude awakening when I first joined, because I joined in March, which was kind of a weird time, and had been like a little banged up before. So I was very out of shape, and everyone was in very good shape when I got here. So the first couple of months was very rough. I feel like already adjusting to Jerry's workouts is hard. And then I was just on a whole nother, I was just came in not in good shape, and it was rough. But, but again, it was like really cool to talk to older people on the team, like Shelby and a lot of other people that were like, this is what happens when you get here. Like, you get your butt kicked, you don't finish a lot of workouts, but you just like have to be patient and like keep doing the best that you can. And I think it was really cool to see Vanessa and Carissa like already having been there for a few months and like adapted so well, and kind of hear about them having to have that learning curve in the fall. Since then, I'd say it's been great. Again, just like learning and picking up from like people that have competed at the highest level and picking people's brains. And I'd say it's a really like great like culture and supportive environment, which is something that I think is important for post-collegiate running.
Yeah, definitely. And it seems like the hard work is paying off. I mean, what'd you run earlier this year? Was it like 14:48 in the 5K?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's so fast. I keep talking to people that have PRs in the 14s. I'm like, you guys make me feel so slow. Like I cannot fathom running under 15 minutes in the 5K. How did that feel?
Yeah, I mean, to your point right there, it's like, it's really cool to see just like American distance running in general. And like, even you were just talking about like Jess Hull, like watching her just run insanely fast, like this summer too. Like, I think it's really cool that the bar is just being elevated. And like, I mean, watching like Carissa and Shelby run under 14:30, like that was something that I feel like was like unfathomable before. It's been really cool to see. I honestly was like a little bit of a shock, I feel like, for a long time, because I think it was like a 37 second PR or something. So I was just like, try to, like, even though you can't get the standard, like, try to run under 15:10, which is the Olympic standard. And then I was, like, really excited the last 100, and I looked at the clock, and it was in the 14th. I was like, whoa, this is fun. But, yeah, it was – I mean, it was a really good setup to, like, having Carissa and Shelby pace us. And, again, I think it's that, like, really cool thing where you're, like, training with the people that you're also racing with, and you, like, know where they think that they're at. And it's like, oh, if Courtney, like, can do this and is still going, then, like, I'm just going to try to stay with her and do it too. I think that gives you a lot of, like, you know, confidence throughout the race too. Is like, okay, I've been training with these people, so, like, let's stay on it in the race and, like, see what we can do.
Yeah, and I'm sure you have that same experience in college too. Like, that's what I really realized, because I had a good team growing up, and I did, like, know that teammates help push you and stuff, but I don't think I really realized the power, like, team has until I went to college. I, like, realized that when people are running, like, I don't know, 4:15, like, semi-easily in, like, races, and they're my teammates, and they're, like, doing the same workouts as me, it, like, gave me confidence. I'm like, oh, well, I can do that too.
Yeah.
It's just kind of crazy, like, the impact that just, like, your surroundings has on your mentality. And
yeah,
your fitness level.
Yeah. It's so cool. I would say, like, the confidence piece is huge, right? I feel like that's where, like, in college too, it's like, yeah, you're, like, in a cross country race or something, and you're, like, running for your team, and you're like, we've been doing these workouts together. Like, if my teammate is up here, like, I need to get up there too. Like, that's where I need to be. So
yeah, I guess it definitely affected cross country for me more than track. Cause I mean, track is individual, but cross country, you just said it perfectly. Like, I kind of always, like, doubted myself in cross country, especially by the end of high school. I'm not very good at cross country. But then I saw, like, my teammates in college doing these workouts, like, the 1500 runners with me, like,
yeah,
they would kill it in cross country. I'm like, oh, well, if they can do that, I can too.
You're so, like, I guess, like, I'm a cross,
yeah, I think,
runner,
I think
now.
It's just kind of the, yeah, I don't know. The teammates really help you, especially in the longer races, in my,
yeah,
opinion.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Would you say that 14:48 was, like, your career high so far? Do you have another race that sticks out to you?
Yeah. Yeah, I would probably say that was a career high. I think that was, like, just, like, a breakthrough moment, I think, from, like, yeah, like, adjusting to this training. Like, the only other thing I can think of is, like, a race my junior year of high school that was a breakthrough. But I feel like those moments where you feel like you've maybe been, like, working for a couple years and, like, you've had some glimpses of it, but, like, you know that there's more there, and then it all feels like it comes together. I feel like those are, like, really memorable races. So
yeah. What was the junior year of high school one?
A little New Balance Nationals, okay, indoor at the Armory. I had run, I had broken 5 for the first time, like, 2 weeks before up at Air Force on 4:58. And Jason was trying to get me into the fast heat, and we weren't sure if I could get in the fast heat, because I was like, obviously, I just broke in 5 minutes. They were like, I don't think you're there yet. And we were like, but I ran that at 7,000 feet. Anyways, I, like, ended up getting into it and ran 4:40 and won the mile. And people were like, who are you? And how did you just PR by 18 seconds in the mile? And I was like, honestly, I'm not sure, but...
Oh my gosh, it's a massive jump. Granted, yeah, yes, it was at altitude the race before, but still, I don't think, yeah, I've ever PR'd by that much in my life.
So the Armory will always have a special, special place in my heart for sure.
When was the last time you raced there?
Not since high school, I don't think. Yeah. I went back and ran the 800 there indoor my senior year, but I don't think I ran. I really wanted to go in college, but it never worked out. But,
yeah. Yeah, we got to race there a couple times, man. It's wild. I never really raced on a bank track, and it was crazy.
Yeah, and I feel like the way that, like, the fans can be, and, like, how it's, like, a small, I don't know, it just feels like there's so much energy in, like, yeah, a very small place.
Yeah, like, I've never experienced that environment in my life.
Yeah, I always, like, I always use this analogy, especially on the bank track, but I literally feel like it's the closest you can feel to, like, a race car, you know? Like, I feel like you just, like, get momentum, and you feel like you're, like, just swinging around.
Yeah, that's what's crazy about indoor track is, like, it has so different than outdoor track for me. Like, uh-huh, I feel like I'm running in a circle.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's like the momentum never stops.
You're getting,
like,
momentum. Yeah,
you're just going around and around. It's like you're whipping off the turns, everyone's flying past you. Like, I'm like, what is going on? It took some adjusting for sure.
Yeah. Then you get to the outdoor track and you're like, wow, this feels so, like, big. I don't, where'd all the momentum go?
Yeah, what the heck? Now I'm just running by myself. It feels like no man's land. Okay, well, transitioning a little bit. So I really wanted to have you come on the podcast because you've been opening up on Instagram lately about your experience with Reds. And this is something I talked about in the Maddie Alm episode, the dietitian who came on, and she like gave really helpful advice too. But I kind of wanted to hear about your experience and why you decided to start opening up more about it on Instagram, because it's something I think I've gone through. I don't really know. My experience was a little bit different, but I've had some similar experiences with it. So I would love to hear like why you started talking about it, what your experience with it is.
Yeah. I think, I think I just recently, like talking to, like younger teammates when I was closer to graduating that had similar experiences. And then even talking to like a lot of like high school, female runners now, I just think in the last like couple of years, especially, I just am like shocked by the prevalence of it and how like little it is talked about for how many people seem to struggle with it. And I'd say especially like even among a team, it's like you can have multiple people going through it and it's just like not really talked about. And I think especially for like thinking back to when I was in high school, it's like I just wish that I would have like known the importance of getting a period. And I think it's something that like is starting to be talked about more, but like I would say for me in high school, it was like, oh, it's like something that is like you're lucky that you don't get your period, you know, like, oh, you don't have to deal with it. And
the amount of times I've heard that phrase, even nowadays, they're like, oh my gosh, you didn't get your period until you were 22, like you are so lucky. I'm like, oh yeah, yeah, because I wanted to be 21 without ever having a period in my life.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. And it's like, even like the narrative of like, you know, oh, you're like training hard, like that's just normal. I think that even comes from like a lot of coaches. And I think just like thinking about that more and more and being like, okay, I want, especially I think after like racing this summer and kind of having a breakthrough after what I felt like was just a lot of different injuries and like inconsistent training in college. Just wanted to like speak on like how you can come out the other side and like it's never too late to make that change, but you have to like make that change and like really commit to it. And just, I don't know, I think even, yeah, with like friends, teammates and people, even just like the mental health toll of like not getting enough fuel or, you know, like body image, like disordered eating stuff, like how that takes such a toll on like the mental side and just like your happiness and quality of life in general. And I think especially seeing that among like other people that you really care about too, I think is something where you're like, okay, let's try to like talk about this and change this and maybe help people like not struggle with it or like not struggle with it for so long.
Yeah. So when did you decide to like commit like you're talking about, or when did you like realize that maybe it was an issue?
Yeah. So I started working with Voice in Sport, which is this like platform for female athletes, and they want to try to keep like females in sports longer just because females drop out at a much higher rate than males. So I did a podcast and I'm like kind of getting into being a mentor with that platform, and I think I honestly like owe them a lot for like having me on a podcast and specifically asking about Reds and loss of period, because I think that kind of for me was the catalyst to like talk about it and kind of gave me, I don't know, kind of in like an in, I guess, to like, okay, now you have this podcast about this, like now I don't know, I think I just before I didn't really know how to go about talking about it necessarily.
Yeah, it is. It's not like, a thing that just like comes up usually, especially on the internet. It's like, hey guys, period.
Like, I think that's what which is the problem, right? Like, that's what we're trying to be like, okay, let's talk about it more. But I think that's how I felt. Like, I'm like, am I just going to do a random post that's just like, hey everyone, like, I didn't get my period, it's really important that we like talk about this more. So I think for me, that was something that was like, okay, I have this podcast where I talked about it and this is like a really good time. And then I think from there, I just wanted to try to give like some tips and continue the conversation and things that have like helped me. Cause I think sometimes It is, it's like you like share an experience and then, you know, people are like, oh my gosh, I've had like a really similar experience, but I like wanted to try as best I could to give people some sort of like, maybe like tangible mantras or things to talk about, that would hopefully be helpful, at least was helpful to me after a while. So,
yeah, I mean, I think like with how well it's done on Instagram, I think it's resonated with a lot of people. Have you gotten good feedback from it?
Yeah, I think, I mean, again, it's just, I think been shocking to me, like the number of people that have reached out that are like, oh, like I'm struggling with this, or like, oh, like I'm a captain and I don't know how to talk about it on my team, but I think it's really important, or, you know, I'm trying to be a leader, but I'm like struggling with this, or I'm stuck in an injury cycle. And so I think that's the type of thing where it's like I'm really grateful that like, I am doing it, and that we like just solidifies that we need to keep talking about it more. Cause it's like, yeah, there are people all over, like at all levels of running, you know, high school, college, that are like really like struggling with this. So,
yeah. I mean, my experience is really similar. It's like, I came out, I don't even know why randomly I decided to post a video about it on YouTube. I don't know how many views it has, but it like got so many views and it got so much feedback within like the first week or so. Like the amount of DMs I got, people being like, oh my gosh, like I have the same experience, or like I've never like seen anyone talk about this, or I didn't know it was so common, or people like I know even reaching out. And it's, yeah, like, it's the same thing. It's like I knew it, like that it was prevalent because I was around people like in college or high school who like had lost their periods or were going through something similar. So it's just crazy how much like it happens in the running world, but how little it's talked about. So I always like, I mean, enjoy, I don't know if that's the right term, but I always like to see when people open up more about it, just because I think it makes it less taboo than it should be, because it really shouldn't for how prevalent it is.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing that's crazy. Like you're saying, like with your own teammates and how I feel, it's like, you know, even people that you know so well, and it's like, it still doesn't necessarily come up, or it's not something that's like shared until like much further down the road. And like, that's crazy to me. But in the moment, it's like, I thought nothing of it either. Again, yeah, it's like, oh, it's normal. We're all training hard. We don't get our period. Like, and I was just telling someone recently, I think it's even the same thing where it's like, if you're not fueling properly, or you're like, you know, overthinking like what to eat and like really so concerned about body image, I don't think it's a type of thing where like you quite realize like the toll it's taking either, until you've like slowly started to work through it and you're like, oh my gosh, no wonder I was like exhausted all the time. And like, that wasn't normal to be like exhausted all the time and be like, you know, so stressed and irritable and like not in a good mental state. But sometimes when you're in it, it's just like, you, I don't know, I think it's like, oh, like we're training hard, school's supposed to be hard, like, but you don't really realize that like, yeah, there are probably things that are like weighing you down more than they need to.
Yeah. So I asked the Instagram for some questions if they had any for you, especially like on this topic. And I got quite a few responses of questions asking about it, just that, which kind of proves that like, this is something that needs to be talked about more with the amount of questions that I got. So, I mean, you've even said on your Instagram, it's like, we're not doctors or experts, but yeah. I feel like these, I mean, you and I have both experienced similar things in this realm. So I feel like just kind of speaking on experience, I mean, I always recommend going to a doctor for this sort of like thing, because everyone is so different. Like my experience is going to be a lot different than your experience probably.
And yeah,
everybody is different. So I always recommend going to a doctor if it's something like really serious to just consult that. But how did you know that you had REDS? And for those of you who are wondering what REDS is it relative energy deficiency syndrome?
Deficiency in sport.
In sport. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how did you know that you had it?
Yeah, I think, I mean, honestly, I think for a while I didn't know that I had it. Again, going back to like, I just thought people were like, oh, it's normal not to get your period. But it's definitely not normal. And like, no matter how hard you're training, like you should be getting your period. And so I didn't know for probably 3 years. And then my sophomore year of college, I got my first major bone injury. And I think that's when I started to hear more about, so like the female athlete triad and like, you know, how losing your period. And I did like a bone density scan because I had a bone injury, and they were like, yeah, your bone density isn't very good. So I think that's kind of when I found out. But again, it was a lot of years that I didn't really know. And it's just like, oh, you know, are being super rigid with your food and you think that it's going to help with performance. And I think that's the type of thing where it was like, for me, it was like bubbling on under the surface for so many years until it like comes to a breaking point where you like get injured. But I think that's what's really important about like talking about it more too, is like, maybe you haven't gotten injured yet and you haven't got your period in a while, but like, it's not good for your body and eventually it's going to hit a breaking point. So like trying to make those changes like sooner than later, even if you haven't yet gotten to the point where you've like struggled with injuries from it, I think is really important.
Yeah. And the female athlete triad, I'm sure a lot of you have heard of it, but it's losing your period, or it's like you're not eating enough calories for your energy or for your body, and then you lose your period, and then bone injury or osteoporosis, yeah, like lowering bone density.
Yeah.
So I mean, kind of similar to that, it's like I didn't have any bone injuries, so that's the thing. And we got bone density scans too. And I didn't have low bone density, but I still wasn't getting my period. So this is why I always recommend people go to the doctor, because everyone is so different. And you don't, like, I didn't know why I wasn't getting it, because I seemed to be eating enough. I never had a bone injury and I didn't have like low bone density. So I was just confused. And eventually I did like have to stop exercising to get my period. Like I think I stopped for a good 7 months. But did you ever have to lower your exercise level at all to get your period?
Yeah. First, really quick, I like what you said about like how everyone is so different. I think that's the thing with like reds too, is like being like, it is like a loss of a period because your energy input is greater, or your energy output is greater than your energy input. So I think, again, like, it's so hard to like get caught up in like comparing, but everyone is so different. Like, I even think, you know, like people's body types are so different. So like, maybe you like never look as small as someone else, but like, that doesn't mean that like you're not getting what you need. Like, you could just be like unhealthy for your own body type, which I think is really like important. And like you said, you know, like, it doesn't have to manifest in like a bone injury or even an injury at all. It could like manifest in other ways. But yeah, just like really like in that case, like when you're not getting your period, probably trying to like decrease the exercise or like increase fuel, like you said. But yeah, I was kind of forced to take time off with that first injury. Like, I think I took like 10 to 12 weeks off to let the bone heal. And I took a couple weeks completely off and then slowly, got back into cross training. But I think for me, like, that was a way for my body to heal. But like, I think it was also important to kind of like kickstart getting the period back for sure.
Yeah. And like, what do you feel like has worked most for you to help kind of like start this journey of getting your period back and like getting your bone density back up? What do you think worked best?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing was healthy fats. Honestly, I think kind of the like, what I was eating. I think for me, it seemed like overwhelming if people were just like, eat more, eat more, eat more. You know, I was like, what does that mean? I need to have like three portions at dinner, you know? And I think it was just like making little tweaks instead of like completely reinventing the wheel. So that was, you know, for me, that was like eating more regularly, like adding more snacks throughout the day and like eating right after a workout and like eating before a runner workout, no matter like how early you were running, like getting something in was like better than getting nothing at all. And then again, I just think, yeah, like eating more calorically dense foods. I think for a while, I definitely had a mindset that was not healthy of like, oh, eating like fat makes you fat, which is not true at all. And I think that's what like led to a lot of my problems, because it's like, okay, at times I was like, I feel like I'm like consuming a good amount of food, but it like just wasn't the right things, right? If it's like non-fat yogurt, like non-fat everything, like, you know, no butter, no oil or stuff like that, is like, that's not what your body needs to like function and be healthy. So for me, it was like, yeah, adding in back in like butter and coconut oil and olive oil and avocado. And this is an example I come back to a lot, but it was like, okay, instead of having a dinner of like a salad, rice and salmon, like adding a half an avocado to the salad and adding like a bunch of spoonfuls of pesto, right? And so it's like, now for me, I didn't have to think about like, oh my gosh, I need to eat three portions of dinner, but it was like, this is like way more like energy that my body needs, and it's like getting the right things, and it's getting that like sustained fuel.
Yeah, that's what I always recommend, especially when people feel like they're eating enough but maybe they like know that they aren't, like maybe they don't want to be overly full, is eating like healthy fats is so crucial, just because they are like calorically dense, so you can get a lot of like energy in a small like handful of nuts or something.
Yeah.
And it's like pretty easy just to add to, like, you can sprinkle it on your oatmeal, you can sprinkle it on your salad, like it's pretty easy to add to your meals without like feeling like you're making, like you said, having to eat three portions of dinner or having to eat like an extra meal in a day. Just like sprinkling in and cooking with oil, I think really, really helps that. And I know my friend or my teammate in college, she said one thing that like really helped her was eating like full fat Greek yogurt. She made the switch from the non-fat to the full fat, and she said it made all the difference in like her hormonal health. So
yeah, I would say like for me as an evening snack too, like the full fat Greek yogurt with like granola too. And then it's like good because you don't wake up, you know, like starving, which like you shouldn't be. It's like you should be fueled and you have like that, yeah, like dense, you know, high energy before you go to bed, which is good too. The Greek, like, I think, forget what it's called. I think it's like Greek goddess, but there's like a honey vanilla.
Oh, that's
like the best ever.
That sounds so good. I ate that all the time in college. I'm literally obsessed with that brand. It's delicious. Really easy to add to your diet because it tastes good. Well, we just covered it. Someone asked what the best foods are. Do you have anything else besides for avocado or anything? Like, what's your favorite food to add to your diet?
I would say avocado. I would say coconut oil, like especially to smoothies, is really good too. I'm a huge like peanut butter fan, so like a ton of peanut butter in the meal, like not like a small spoonful, like big lots of peanut butter.
Yes.
But yeah, and then kind of, this is kind of a little bit of a tangent, but I would say like learning to that there's no like good or bad foods, like trying to really focus on like intuitive eating and like, you know, giving your body what it's craving instead of, you know, trying to like restrict or stop it or thinking like, oh, these are like unhealthy and these are like quote unquote healthy. I think that is like a really huge piece too.
Yeah, I literally just posted something about intuitive eating on my food Instagram yesterday because I feel like it's so important to like give your body what it wants.
Yeah.
And not like have to fight the cravings, because one, it helps you so much, like it just helps you, your mindset so much. I think just by giving your body like what it is craving, and like you said, like not trying to like eat an apple or something when you're craving like a big piece of chocolate, because it's not going to, I mean, let's be real, like it's not going to satisfy the craving.
Yeah.
And I also, I mean, someone asked me this on my Instagram story yesterday too. They're like, what do you do if you're like craving junk food? I'm like, well, usually I either eat it or I make something that like is healthy and mimics the similar thing. So it's like, if I'm craving, if you want to like be healthy, I mean, I do eat junk food too. So but it, maybe if you wanted like a little bit of a healthier dessert so that you don't have like a sugar crash, like if I'm craving like a Reese's cup or something, it's like, or Twix, it's like I make dates with almond butter and chocolate chips, and it's like a healthy alternative, but it's like still calorically dense, and it completely like satisfies my craving. So that's like what I've been doing when I get cravings, but a lot of the time I just eat what I'm craving because it cures the craving, surprisingly.
Yeah, it does. Well, and I think too, like, I think when you like don't, it just kind of like then you want it even more, or like I think people kind of think, I know this is my mentality, like just super like black and white, like I was like, oh, if I give into this craving then I'm suddenly just gonna like be eating junk food all the time. And it's like, eventually, like, your body does crave, like, you know, veggies and, like, salad or something again. Like, it's not like you're going to start eating, like, quote unquote junk food and then, like, that's all you're going to eat. And I think that is why, like, I really like the intuitive eating piece, because it's like, okay, like, maybe you're, like, craving something, and that's maybe because you, like, didn't get enough, like, fat or sugar in your, like, meals that day. And so it's like, listen to your body, like, that's what it needs, you know, to, like, feel strong and be ready to go. And I think focusing on the intuitive eating too can be helpful, because I think sometimes it can take that, like overthinking or, like, emotion a little bit out of it. Like, at least for me, it was like, oh, okay, like, looking at it a little more, just like, okay, like, am I full? Like, what does my body want, instead of kind of, like, having such a big, like, reaction to it. I heard, like, when I was in college, this one lady was talking about intuitive eating, and she, I don't know why, but this has stuck with me for a long time, and it was genius. Like, she was like, you know, a kid does this. Like, if a kid, like, goes and has, like, a piece of cake, and it's, like, delicious, and it's amazing, and it's, like, then, like, the kid goes back and gets another piece of cake, and, like, it's still pretty good, but maybe it's, like, not quite as good as the first slice, because, like, you're getting full, and, like, now your body, like, probably doesn't need any more sugar. And then it's, like, then the kid goes back and has, like, a third piece, and now, like, the kid feels really sick, but they're not, like, necessarily, like, overthinking, like, oh my gosh, like, I shouldn't have done that. They're just like, oh, now I know for next time that, like, about, like, at 1.5 pieces or 2 pieces was when I felt like it was still really tasty, but I didn't feel overly sick, you know. And I think, I don't know why, but that's just, like, stuck with me for a long time. It's like, it's all trial and error too, right? So it's like, okay, if your body's craving something, give it something. And maybe one time it's like, oh, like, you ate a whole pint of ice cream and you were like, okay, yeah, that made me feel sick, but I really enjoyed the first, like, 2 scoops of it or whatever. And just, like, trying to think about it a little more like that. I don't know. That's been, like, helpful for me. Like, okay, listen to your body and then be like, okay, like, yeah, this time that was, like, too much for the sake of, like, I feel sick and it was too much.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. You literally just, like, preached what I think. Exactly. Like, that's how my brain thinks. It is very much trial and error, and everyone is different too. So it's like, you can't really tell some, like, I can't give you, like, a meal plan and be like, here, this is what I eat, you should eat it too. I mean, I do post a lot of what I eat in the days, but it's for, like, meal inspiration more than anything, because yeah, I don't know what's going to work for you. Like, maybe you hate oatmeal, like, don't eat oatmeal. Yeah. If oatmeal makes you feel sick, don't eat it. Like, what people, you have to, like, listen to your body first is what I always tell people. And you want to, like, work with it instead of, like, against it. So, yeah, like, your body is going to tell you what it wants.
Yeah.
It's not going to, like, feed you, like, the wrong, or send you the wrong way, you know? Like you said, if you feel sick, stop eating the thing that made you feel sick.
Yeah.
Okay, another question. Did you ever take, like, birth control or anything to regulate your hormones? Oh my gosh, I couldn't say the word. Yeah.
I did not. I think my experience with, like, talking to some doctors when I was at Stanford was just, like, the one thing, again, like, everyone has a different situation. And like you said, like, go talk to, like, a doctor and an expert about it. But for me, I think it was important to not, just because it can kind of give you a false sense of getting your period with the synthetic hormones. And for me, it was really important that I, like, figure out that I'm getting a natural period to make sure I was eating enough. So, I never did, just because it was like, I need to get to the point where I'm, like, getting a natural one with, like, no help from anyone else to really make sure that, yeah, like, I'm fueling enough and getting the right things.
Yeah. Mine was the same. I went to a gynecologist and she was like, yeah, like, I don't think it's necessary. And I was the same way. Like, I didn't want to take it because I wanted to get it naturally, because I felt like something was obviously off. I wasn't getting it. So yeah, I mean, I was the same way, but that's why I was recommending people go to the doctor, because everyone's situation is different. And maybe yours is, like, more immediate, like, needs more immediate attention than mine was, but everyone is different.
Yeah.
What is your biggest piece of advice for someone that is trying to overcome amenorrhea?
Yeah, I would say, like, fully commit to it. Like, it's going to be, especially if you, are coming from a place of like restrictive eating and like, you know, kind of bad habits or like rules in your mind, I would say really try to think like shift your perspective. And again, I think I said this in one of my posts, but like really thinking about like the feel over the fear, like really focus on like how you're feeling, like as you start to feel more, instead of like, you know, hanging on and being so afraid of like maybe your body like changing a little bit. So I would say like, yeah, fully like committing to it and going all in, like knowing that it's going to be like challenging and hard and uncomfortable. And I use this analogy a lot, but like run into the fire and like run, like if you've, you know, avoided food groups or things in the past, like it can be like uncomfortable to like reintroduce those, like, or again, like I said, for me personally, like I really avoided things with like fat for a long time. And that was a like difficult for me to like kind of challenge that thought, right, that had been ingrained in my head for a while. And at first it's going to feel so like effortful to try to like challenge that, but really thinking about it in the perspective of like, okay, I really need to get my period back, and like these, like doing these things, like incorporating healthy fats, maybe like decreasing my like intensity or volume of training a little bit, and like, you know, eating more regularly, and having more hearty snacks, like doing those things, even if they're uncomfortable at first, like I would say just fully commit into it and like run into the fire.
How long did it take for you to like, I mean, results isn't really the right word, but until you started like seeing changes, or maybe you got your period back?
Yeah. So I guess, let's see. I would say that the other thing, honestly, like another piece of advice would be like, it's, you're not going to get like immediate like results or gratification. Like, I think for me, that was like, I was like, I'm making all these changes and I'm adding in all these healthy fats, and like, I'm still not getting it. Like, what is happening? And then even for a while, like once I like got a regular period again, like I was still getting injured quite a bit. So in that regard, my piece of advice there would be like, but like stay on track, stay the course, like it will come. And I think sometimes it takes much longer than you want it to, like once you've made changes, but especially if you've, you know, gone without a period for like years or a super extended period of time, like it's going to take a while for your body to get back to that point. So, I mean, even for me, like I took 10 weeks completely off running with my first bone injury, and was like really trying to make big changes to my fueling. And it was like, even when I came back to running, like I still hadn't got it. It took a while. Or like at first it wasn't, you know, regular. Like I would miss some months when my training was higher. And that's when I was like, okay, we really need to get to the point where like we don't increase the like training anymore until we're like really getting it regularly. So I think it's kind of, again, it's like the trial and error, but like fully like embracing the process and like, you know, doing all the things, like particularly like the healthy fats and, you know, more meals with sustenance, and knowing that like sometimes it's not, yeah, immediate.
Yeah.
That's, like it to be.
That is so true, because everyone wants instant gratification to like fix their problems. But it took, I would say for me, like a full year to be able to, like I stopped running in February, March of 2018, like competitively. And then I was running on and off for a couple months, but I was like eating a lot more, and I was definitely a lot more sedentary. So there was, it was not nearly like as intense as it was in college, like my athletics. And then I stopped running for I stopped exercising for about 7 months, and I was not doing anything. I was sitting on my butt, eating a ton. And yeah, so I would say it took me almost a full year to like, and then one day randomly I got my period, like without any like hormones or anything. It was so random. Honestly, I was shocked. But that just shows you like it's definitely not immediate, but I was so determined at that point to like make the change and like get my period for the first time at age 22. I was like, it needs to happen. And yeah, like you said, like going, like fully committing and being patient, and it'll like definitely pay off. And I'm so glad like I took the time away from athletics to do it, because now it's like I have my period and I don't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
And like, I mean, I do still have to worry about it, but like in the sense of like not having it, I don't have to worry anymore. And now it's just like a matter of like keeping it with all the exercise that I'm doing. And yeah, it's just, there is no instant gratification if you haven't had it for a while. I mean, granted, I didn't have it for 21 years. So mine might be a little bit different than yours, but yeah, it's all about patience in the long run and sticking to it, even when it is uncomfortable and out of your comfort zone.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, the last thing I want to wrap up with is, do you have like a motto or quote that you live by day to day?
Oh man. Just like in general.
Yeah. In general, anything that sticks out. I should have asked
you. I'm trying to think.
Or something that inspires you.
Yeah, I guess isn't really a specific quote, but I don't know if you've seen the show This Is Us.
I haven't.
Okay, well, it's a good show. You should watch it.
I feel like I've gotten that recommendation a lot of times.
But Sterling K. Brown plays Randall in the show, and he graduated from Stanford and did the commencement speech in 2018. And he gave this really incredible speech about like letting your light shine and like how that inspires others to do the same. So I would probably say something along the lines of like being a light and like letting your light shine is something that I like try to live by. And I think even when you're asking, you know, like about posting about this as well, I think when you see people that are like, you know, struggling with this or like overthinking things, and you just, I know for me personally, like I wasn't like myself when I was like in that stage, and just like wanting to help other people like find their light and be able to like truly live it out. And then I think that also like helps me personally too. And I think was something that like helped me. I mean, not this exact quote, because it was like I heard it when I was graduating, but like when I was like focusing on getting my period back too, was like, okay, I want to like be like a better teammate and a better person. And like, I know that right now I'm like way too, you know, stuck in my head and consumed in my thoughts and wasting so much energy on like overthinking this, and not like being present and able to live as much. So I think, yeah, that's what I try to think about now. That was a really long-winded answer to your very simple question.
No, I like it. And I like what you said about like in that stage, you don't feel like it was you, like, or it was just kind of like a different version of you. And I feel the same way. Like, I feel like the college version of me was very different. Like,
yeah,
I don't know if it had to do with that. I don't really know, but I just feel like I wasn't really truly myself. And then once I started kind of focusing on this, my happiness came back. I don't know if it has something to do with that. Maybe there, I mean, so much has changed since I left college, but yeah, I don't know. Eating more and keeping your hormones on track, I think definitely helps with that too. So, and my sister would say the same, my older sister. So we've talked about this a lot. So it was great hearing your perspective, and I'm glad you're helping like inspire others to look into this more or be more open about it, with their family, friends, teammates. And I'm glad that you got to come on today and kind of share your experience with us. So thank you.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me on.
Of course. I'm sure I'll see you soon.
Yes, for sure.
Awesome. Can we get a good old peace out, fellas, to close out the pod?
Oh, of course. Peace out, fellas.
Thank you guys so much for listening to today's episode of Convos Over Cold Brew. Hope you enjoyed it. Great conversation with Elise. Really helpful information, and it was just nice to hear from her and her experience through running and much more. Big thank you to Jackson F. for supporting the podcast. I give one of my supporters a shout out in each episode. It's really easy to support. It's through the Anchor platform. The link is in the show notes. And make sure to follow at Convos Over Cold Brew Pod on Instagram if you ever want to give your feedback. Another way that you can support the podcast that's free is by rating and reviewing on Apple Podcasts. I love hearing your guys' feedback, and it really helps grow the podcast organically. And it just means a lot to me. If you listen to the podcast every week, if you could rate and review. Thank you guys so much for listening, and I will hear from you guys in the next one. Peace out, fellas.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.